Every 9 seconds, a woman is being abused and or beaten. 1 in 3 women have been a victim of some form of domestic violence. 1 in 4 men have experienced the same. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 7 men have been victims of severely physically abusive relationships. And 72% of all murder suicides involve an intimate partner. Texas State University has more than 30,000 students enrolled in classes. Men and women are bound to fall victim to domestic abuse. However, there are ways to detect a domestically violent partner, and there are resources available for you on campus. Professor and coordinator of the professional counseling program, Kevin Fall, said it is difficult to determine whether or not you are about to enter a relationship with a physically and or emotionally abusive person. It is difficult because most perpetrators don't exhibit traits of their need to have power and control. Rather, they appear to be charming, open, and accommodating. Fall said people who are controlling and seeking power in a relationship are not evil monsters from the beginning, and when the perpetrators aren't threatened, they aren't violent. He said a potential partner should look for power and control dynamics as they emerge. For example, what someone should be looking for is whether or not their partner is trying to make all the decisions, like where you eat, what you do, and who you hang out with. As the relationship progresses, the perpetrator will begin to criticize friends and family members to get the victim to stop talking to them. The perpetrator will say things along the lines of, "Your mom is trying to control your life, and you complain about her all the time, and maybe you shouldn't talk to her as much." They could also say the same thing about your siblings. Fall said this is a tactic designed to make the victim spend more time with the perpetrator. Another warning sign is your partner not being comfortable with you doing things away from them, even things you've done for years. Fall said these statements will not always be straightforward. It won't always be a simple, "I don't like it when you do this." The perpetrator will have reasons why they don't want you doing that certain activity. For example, they could say something like, "That activity or person is a bad influence. It's taking time away from your studies. Your friends are sleazy and are bad influences." Or even, "Your mom is always making you sad. You should stop talking to her."
What I would advocate for people in all relationships is to try to be as comfortable as you can asserting your own needs and voicing those in the beginning, because that's a really good test of how your partner is going to handle those. That's a good negotiation and relationship building skill for all people. But in power and control based relationships, that really is the one way that you can begin to test the waters and see how the person handles, for example, free time that you spend with friends. But then you keep testing that over time.
Fall said if your partner is a good partner, they will understand your need to be with your friends. A person who is in need of power and control of the relationship will start to get agitated and up their intensity. This is when the victim needs to decide that the relationship is not a good one to be in.
The problem is that the longer you spend in the web of a power and control relationship, the more difficult it is to get out. I've worked with doing groups for men that have been arrested for domestic violence for years. The one question that I get when I do workshops is, "Well, why doesn't she just leave if it's so bad?" And the problem is that in an ongoing relationship, that's the most dangerous time to leave. That's when people often get hurt and killed and things like that, because they're so ensnared in that web and the perpetrator feels completely out of control.
As a result of this power and control relationship, the victim's world will begin to shrink. The victim may not have many friends, if any at all. They'll stop communicating with their parents. They'll find it difficult to leave a relationship. Then physical abuse is used to show the victim how bad it can get, otherwise known as a way to inject fear.
People who utilize power and control will make you think that there's something wrong with you. And they're very manipulative when it comes to that. So you start, not only is your world shrinking, but you begin to think that I'm a bad partner. And when they do get angry, they have a way of convincing you that it was your fault. If you would have just done this, everything would have been okay. So that type of psychological or emotional abuse paired with the isolation, before things get really bad, for example, when physical abuse occurs, you feel stuck.
Fall said if you find yourself in a difficult situation, you must realize there are resources available for you, such as the University Counseling Center and women's shelters, regardless of how isolated you feel. Of course, the same goes for the men experiencing domestic abuse. Fall said, though statistics show that domestic abuse is more likely to happen to women than men, the resources the university can provide are sensitive to these issues and are able to provide services. After a victim has ended the relationship, the best thing to do is not enter a new one immediately. Fall said the best thing is to seek introspection and counseling to find out about your own personal dynamics in the relationship. Fall said victims of domestic violence have a tendency to blame themselves. He said the best thing to do is to seek counseling to further understand the warning signs of an unhealthy relationship and the elements of a healthy relationship before jumping into a new one.
Once they've learned those things, then I think it's a good idea to go out and start exploring other types of relationships. I think the danger is doing it too soon without that knowledge and without that understanding and without that insight. The danger is just, like I said, replicating the pattern. You find yourself in the same situation, which is common for almost any relationship. When in doing counseling, how many times I've heard in session, I keep getting in the same relationships over and over and over and over again. And to me, that speaks to the need to really do some soul searching and thinking and learning about that process before you move on.
He said this goes for all relationships, whether domestic violence was present or not. The reason being is that people tend to blame the other person for the ending of a relationship. When that happens, they jump into another relationship, and oftentimes it tends to be the same relationship they just left. Fall said the elements of a healthy relationship include good communication skills. This is listening, not just talking. Be able to express your needs. Be assertive, not aggressive or passive. Be a good listener. Understand what your partner is asking of you. Be interested in what your partner has to say. Have multiple ways to handle situations. There has to be a value in intimacy and sharing aspects of yourself. And in that intimacy, there must be vulnerability. Be able to feel different things and understand that you're both feeling different things. Be able to trust and also be apart from each other from time to time. For In the Public Interest, I'm Cassandra Garza.